Why, hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here this Monday. Delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Hang on. I got to do this for Abby. Abby works at our affiliate at KRMG out in Tulsa. I got to do this for her. This is important. Hey, Siri, what was the Georgia Vanderbilt score?
Vanderbilt was pummeled by Georgia last Saturday. The final score was 62-0.
Oh, ouch, 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 62-0. Hey, Siri, what was the Clemson score this weekend?
Clemson lost a double overtime game to NC State in the Texas Bowl last Saturday. The final score was 27-21.
What? Oh, my gosh. Hey, Siri, what was the Auburn score this weekend?
Auburn beat Georgia State by a score of 34-24 last Saturday.
Oh, well, hey, they won against Georgia. Wait, what? Georgia State? What? Oh, dear God. Wow, all right. And then the last one. Say, Siri. Well, come on, Siri. You're dying on me now. Hey, Siri, what was the Green Bay Packers score last night?
The Packers edged past the 49ers by a score of 30-28 yesterday.
That game was incredible. Y'all, listen, we're not a sports show, but that game, I sat on the front porch last night. It was bourbon and cigar night, and Phillip left before the end of the game, and he missed it. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Green Bay's lost. 37 seconds left in the game, and they won. It was incredible. It was incredible. I did not pour an extra glass of bourbon because my assistant hates the Green Bay Packers and she would have been very mad at me had I done so. But it was an amazing game. That's not why I'm here, though, nor is it why you're here. We got to move on to very important. 60. What was that score again to against Vanderbilt? Good Lord. I mean, were they playing cadavers instead of Commodores? Apparently so. Rotting out there on the field. I mean, wow. Okay. I mean, they should have imposed like the Little League team rules on that. When you get like 30 points ahead to nothing, you just kind of wave off the game and say, our bad, sorry. Sorry for the humiliation. We're going back home now. Gracious. Okay. All right. Now, let us move on. Because there are four major fights happening in Washington, D.C. this week. And among these four fights, the Democrats, well, they're having a mess amongst themselves. And I want to spend this hour. So I'm going to get into the Donald Trump going to Georgia and endorsing Stacey Abrams stuff. Did he actually do that? Do you take him seriously? Not literally, what have you. We're going to get into that in the next hour. But I want to spend a moment for you right now breaking this stuff down. One programming note for you before we dive into this so that you're smarter than your neighbors. In the third hour, I'm going to be joined by a guy I've gotten to know, Eric Reed. He's written a book on anxiety. And let me tell you how this book begins. He has a son. The son has some special needs. And they have to go in to do a kidney surgery, and they remove the wrong kidney and ultimately remove his kidneys, and it was all a mistake. And his son ultimately dies, and he starts having all sorts of panic attacks and the like the dad does, Eric does, and he's written a book on coping with anxiety and panic. And in his entire first chapter is, here's why you can believe me on this. It's an incredible story. I want to talk to him. And I read the book and it's a great book. It really is. And I hope you'll be around for that, particularly if you're coping, struggling with anxiety right now and everything else going on in COVID world. But for now, speaking of struggling with anxiety and COVID and the like, let's break down what the Democrats are having to face, because the Democrats in Washington right now are really on the verge of a crack up. Maybe they can pull it up. Maybe they can. I think they're going to have to slow it down. I begin with this small soundbite from Nancy Pelosi.
So again, the Senate and the House, those who are not in full agreement with the president's rate, let's see what our value, let's not talk about numbers, let's and dollars, let's talk about values.
Values, let's not talk about dollars. By the way, the talking point has gone out to the media today that the Biden reconciliation plan, it costs nothing, nothing. It costs nothing, except it does. The reason they say it costs nothing is because they're raising $3.5 trillion in taxes to cover $3.5 trillion in spending. So they say it costs nothing. It's going to cost you a lot out of your take-home pay. If you're poor and you smoke, you're going to be bludgeoned to death by the federal tax collection machine. Let's break this down. There are four fights in Washington, D.C. right now. You need to understand them. The four fights are BIF, reconciliation, debt ceiling, and continuing resolution. BIF is the Bipartisan Infrastructure Plan. It is a $1.5 trillion infrastructure plan that truly is bipartisan. The Republicans and Democrats of the Senate shaped it. The bipartisan plan actually pays for infrastructure. It pays for roads. It pays for bridges. It pays for telecommunications infrastructure. It pays for air capacity infrastructure. It pays for FAA upgrades. It pays for all the real infrastructure when you think of the word infrastructure. If you will recall when the Republicans and Democrats structured this, Joe Biden came out and said he wasn't going to sign it into law unless a reconciliation plan also passed. BIF is tied to reconciliation. Biden walked that back after Joe Manchin complained. Nancy Pelosi has never really walked it back. So what is reconciliation? Reconciliation is a process by which Congress structures a budget and says, here is our framework for the federal budget for the upcoming year. Reconciliation allows Congress to take all the various spending packages that have already been approved or in some capacity and realign them to fit into that budget framework so that they meet the budgetary expectations. The budget is $3.5 trillion of the framework that must be fixed, so reconciliation cannot exceed $3.5 trillion. Joe Manchin says that's still too much. He wants $1.5 trillion. Keep in mind, they've already appropriated $5 trillion with the COVID package. So if you add current reconciliation and bipartisan infrastructure of $1.5 trillion, you get another $5 trillion. That's $10 trillion in spending in the first 9 months of this year, which is nuts. But it's what the Democrats want. On reconciliation, there are two things you have to keep in mind. To avoid a filibuster in the Senate, one, it must have a net zero impact on the federal budget, and two, it must not be a new policy or substantial changes to current policies of the United States. So, for example, amnesty is not a current policy in the United States. So the Democrats tried to put that into reconciliation, and they cannot do it. They can't do it because it's a new policy, so it falls outside the rules of reconciliation. They tried to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The parliamentarian of the Senate said that's actually substantially changes current policy. It would more than double the current minimum wage. Therefore, it falls outside of reconciliation. You can't do that. What they can do is they can expand various entitlements that are pre-existing. They can expand the Green New Deal. They can put that in. They can expand Medicare, Medicaid, and other government social welfare programs. And this has become a problem for the Democrats. What do you call the reconciliation plan? It was supposed to be infrastructure. Now they're trying to call it human infrastructure. But to call it human infrastructure, it's also the largest tax increase that has been passed out of Congress in decades, if not ever. The Democrats have really painted themselves into a corner here. If they pass it, Republicans can say they're big spending progressives and also tax and spenders. They've passed the biggest tax cuts in decades, or the biggest tax increases in decades. And they've cut the President Trump's tax cuts. They've gotten rid of them. They drive up costs on poor people who smoke. They say they're driving up costs just on rich people. That's not true. The Republicans will have them. If they pass this, it will be destructive for the moderates. Now, if they don't pass it, Republicans can attack them as well. Why? Because they can't get anything done. They control the whole Congress and the White House, and they can't get anything done. They have an opportunity to pass this stuff without Republican help, and they refuse. They don't, they're discombobulated. So Republicans attack them if they pass it. for raising taxes and spending too much. Republicans attack them if they don't pass it, for not being able to legislate, for not being able to govern when they control everything. The Democrats have painted themselves into this corner. And by the way, they just want to get out of the tunnel. They want to head into the light, and the light that they're headed into is Mitch McConnell's fast approaching debt ceiling train. He's going to run them over on that. Now, that's fight number three, the debt ceiling. Democrats can't agree on the price tag for reconciliation. They can't figure out a compromise that placates progressives and moderates. The progressives have seen, let's see, they didn't get the Voting Rights Act passed. They didn't get their other voting reform package passed. They didn't get the minimum wage increase passed. They didn't get amnesty passed. They haven't gotten filibuster reform. They want this. They didn't get Nina Turner in the House. Progressives need a win. They want a win. They're blaming the Democratic leadership for denying them their wins. It's not going well for the progressives. And on top of this is fight number three, the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling has to be raised in large part because of the Democrat spending plan. Therefore, Republicans have said, you're going to have to put the debt ceiling in reconciliation or we're going to filibuster it. And the Democrats can't do it. The Democrats, you've got to understand the time here. The Democrats have convinced themselves they can't just write a bill saying we expand the debt ceiling. No. They say it's going to take weeks to get to it because they're tied up with infrastructure. They can't talk and they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. So the Democrats say the Republicans are going to have to vote for the debt ceiling. And Mitch McConnell and the Republicans say, nope. The Democrats think McConnell's playing chicken. McConnell isn't playing games at all. He's destroying Democrat dreams. See, the only way for Democrats to pass the debt ceiling increase is to stick it into reconciliation. If you stick it into reconciliation to bypass the filibuster, you have to gut half of your reconciliation plan. Because remember, it's got to be deficit neutral. Raising the debt ceiling is going to impact the deficit. So the Democrats don't want to put it in reconciliation. Democrats want it as a standalone measure. They demand Republicans vote for it. The GOP say no. And that gets me to the fourth fight, the continuing resolution. There will be a government shutdown on Friday if Congress does not pass a continuing resolution. All a continuing resolution does is it takes the money that's already being spent and continues to spend it. It adds no new spending. It doesn't change the budget. It just perpetuates everything. It's a great way for the GOP to hold Joe Biden accountable, except the Democrats have decided they're going to first try to put the debt ceiling in the continuing resolution and then blame the Republicans for a government shutdown if it doesn't pass, and the GOP doesn't care. The Democrats cut them out of the reconciliation process. They're trying to do a grab bag of liberal wishes and get rid of the Republicans' tax cuts. The GOP is not going to help them. So you've got the bipartisan infrastructure bill is held hostage to reconciliation. Reconciliation is held hostage to the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling is held hostage to the continuing resolution. The continuing resolution is held hostage to Republican filibusters. The Democrats can't get anything done. And if they do get it all done and they punt the debt ceiling as they say they're going to do and require the Republicans to not filibuster it, the Republicans are going to filibuster it as the Republicans have been saying all along they're going to do. Why? Because then the Republicans will be able to extract painful concessions from the Democrats, including scuttling much of what the Democrats will have accomplished with reconciliation. The light you see at the end of the tunnel for the Democrats is Mitch McConnell's fast approaching train, and he is in the driver's seat. And he's only in the driver's seat because the Democrats screwed up their negotiations. I'll explain when we come back. If you are a regular listener of this here program, you know my quest for the perfect mattress. I finally found one after multiple iterations. And then, of course, you got to get the perfect sheets to go with the mattress. I mean, you need quality sheets. Well, that's why Bull & Branch is right for you. You know, there's a great, great, great company out there. They're highly entrepreneurial and they make high quality sheets, the highest quality. It makes the world a better place when you're sleeping under high-quality sheets on a great mattress, and you need Boll & Branch to go with your mattress. They are soft. They've got that weighted feel, but they're also very, very soft. They're very comfortable. You sleep cool, but you also feel like you have something on you. Like, I can't sleep in super light sheets, and the Boll & Branch, they are the perfect purpose balance. My wife loves them. I love them. They're super soft. They're high-quality. And you know what? You'll sleep well at night with them. You'll also, you know, for some reason, the Bowl and Branch, it's the sheen on them there. You don't get tangled up in the covers at night, which is also great. So I highly recommend Bowl and Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights if you don't believe me. You get free shipping and returns. Now, my listeners get 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L, and Branch.com. The promo code is ERIC. Sleep comfortably with Bowl and Branch. You won't get tangled up under the covers. They give you a little weight. They're the perfect set of sheets to go with your mattress. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Allow me to explain how the Democrats have put Mitch McConnell in the driver's seat on the debt ceiling. The Democrats are so busy trying to pass reconciliation and the bipartisan infrastructure plan together as one thing, they forgot the debt ceiling was upcoming. The Republicans told them you need to put it in reconciliation, and the Democrats said, we don't have time and we're not going to do it. You're going to have to vote for it. And McConnell said, nope. McConnell's not a bluffer. He's not playing chicken. The Democrats are maneuvering to put McConnell in charge of the whole process. How? So what happens is if you don't put the debt ceiling in reconciliation, the debt ceiling is a filibusterable piece of legislation in the Senate. That means the Republicans can block raising the debt ceiling. So after the Democrats have spent their $5 trillion, the Republicans then block the debt ceiling from being raised so the money can't be spent. Democrats and their friends in the media say it's a default. It's not actually a default. What happens is the Treasury Secretary will have to stop paying for all the discretionary parts of the budget to pay the interest on the national debt. So no more payments for schools, no more salaries for federal employees, none of this stuff. Everything goes to service the debt until the debt ceiling is increased. So McConnell refuses. The last time the Republicans refused to go along with the debt ceiling increase, the Democrats had to agree to sequestration. Sequestration was the first time it was mischaracterized by some, but it actually was real world, real time cuts in the federal budget. It wasn't just cuts to future growth. It was actual real cuts. And the last time the Republicans who were most opposed to doing a sequestration were those who were worried about the military. But what the Obama military did is they didn't rout out waste, fraud, and abuse to save money. They cut legit programs. And so what the Republicans learned is that the Democrats will never do the right thing when it comes to military spending. So you might as well cut the Pentagon budget and let the chips fall where they may. You can't let the Democrats use the Pentagon and hold it hostage and say, if you do sequestration, we're going to cut all the stuff because you're going to do it anyway. This puts McConnell in the captain's chair, driving a locomotive right over the Democrats' agenda, because to raise the debt ceiling, they're going to have to extract concessions. The Democrats have wanted to run this entire process through without ever giving the Republicans anything. In fact, they rubbed Republicans' noses in the bipartisan infrastructure plan, because the moment the Republicans agreed to $1.5 trillion, then Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi came out and said, well, now the Democrats are going to pass this $3.5 trillion, and if we don't pass all the stuff you didn't want, we're not giving you what you want. That really struck Republicans badly. It left a poor taste in Manchin and Sinema's mouths as well. And so the Republicans since then have been waiting for this moment to come. The Democrats have been so distracted by the continuing resolution, by the bipartisan infrastructure bill, by the reconciliation package, it never even dawned on them the debt ceiling would have to be raised. They have no room in their legislative process to fit the debt ceiling increase in. The only plan they have is to expect Republicans to go along with the ceiling increase, and they're not. From Susan Collins to Lisa Murkowski to Mitt Romney to Mitch McConnell, the Republicans are saying, we will not raise the debt ceiling. You will not have our votes. That wipes out the votes to overcome a filibuster in the Senate. that will require negotiations with the Republicans. And the Republicans will extract concessions from the Democrats. And those concessions will amount to cuts in what the Democrats just passed in reconciliation. And the Republicans will rub the progressives' noses in it, which will begin to chip away at the Democratic harmony that we've seen. The Democrats did this to themselves. They didn't have to do it, but they have managed to put Mitch McConnell in the driver's seat of a fast-approaching train that's about to run over their agenda. If you've been behind the wheel of a high-performance sports car, you realize how much better a car can be. You never want to settle for a regular car again. I feel that way with my X-Chair. From the moment I first sat down in it and I understood how many consider X-Chair to be the finest office chair in the world, can your current office chair give you a massage while you're working? My X-Chair can, and as a guy in radio who sits in this chair for 3 hours a day, plus an additional 3 hours doing show prep, I can tell you it's worth it. It can also heat up. It can cool down. That's what my X-Chair can do. I bet yours can't. It's all the Elemax massage and temperature regulation, exclusively designed and made for X-Chair. Once you feel it, once you realize the difference, you're not going to go back. You're going to want one of these. Try X-Chair yourself, risk-free for 30 days. Once you realize how much better your chair can be, you're never going to go back. I promise, I didn't, and I had a really fancy chair, and then I got my X-Chair. There's no going back. Go to xchaireric.com now with the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com, for $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. It's xchaireric.com. Several of you tagged me on Instagram this weekend making my gumbo recipe. I'm glad to make it easy for you. You can text the word recipe to 33777 and you'll get a link. You follow the link, you can see the recipes and also sign up to get them in email. I don't sell that list or you don't get spammed. It's just recipes so you can cook and enjoy time with your friends and family, build some offline relationships. Economists have slashed their forecasts for America's growth. This just in from CNN Business. Business economists are marking down their forecasts for U.S. growth this year as the Delta variant takes a toll on the recovery, according to a survey released a short time ago. The National Association of Business Economists said the panel of 47 economists is surveyed now expects U.S. GDP growth of 5.6%. Although that's still strong, it marks a downgrade from May when they were anticipating a 6.7% growth. Economists also sharply cut their call for third quarter growth to an annualized pace of 4%, down from 6.6% in May. The downgrades reflect the damage from the Delta variant. At the same time, economists are bracing for price spikes to continue at the end of the year. Consumer prices are expected to surge by 5.1% during the fourth quarter on a year-over-year basis. That's up sharply from a forecast of 2.8% inflation as of May and underscores the sticker shock Americans are experiencing in everything from used cars to gasoline to meat. The Fed's view is that very high inflation will prove to be temporary, but inflation itself will continue, it seems. These are not good things. Now, I got to get into the nuts and bolts of just how badly. I know I've got Democrats who hate listen. And this is kind of for you guys. Because how badly are they bungling this? It's actually pretty striking. This is from Politico Playbook today. Congress is 3 days out from a vote on a key plank of the president's agenda, a $1.2 trillion infrastructure package, BIF, they're calling it. I said 1.5. I guess it's been marked down to 1.2. Joe Biden and House leaders haven't even started the whipping process. Well, they're waiting for the horses from the Texas Border Patrol to begin the whipping process, I'm sure. Our colleagues, Natasha Kerensky and Laura Baron Lopez at Politico, reported Sunday night the president was making calls and doing Zoom sessions from Camp David over the weekend on BIF and the larger reconciliation package. But the seeming lack of urgency so far is alarming some House Democrats going into a critical week. I don't understand why the president isn't whipping his own historic bill, said a moderate Democrat. Speaker Pelosi's been trying to project an air of confidence, saying she plans to start the House debate on BIF today with a vote on Thursday. The hope is that leaders can announce an agreement or framework on reconciliation with Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin in the Senate by then. freeing up progressives to vote for the bipartisan infrastructure bill. The problem is almost everyone Politico spoke to on Sunday said that timing's unlikely. One Democrat aide said it's fiction. There are literally no negotiations. Senator Chuck Schumer of the White House are in regular touch with, they're calling it Manchima, Cinnamon Mansion, trying to make progress on the larger reconciliation package. There's an effort underway to get Manchin to walk back his demand for a pause on reconciliation. That's a far cry from a framework. Moderate Democrats expected Biden to start twisting House progressives' arms during their White House meeting. But Politico is told by sources in the progressive camp and another senior Democrat aide that the president has neither asked progressives to drop their demand that the reconciliation bill pass in tandem with BIF, nor press them to accept a standalone vote on BIF this week, at least not yet, and that's infuriated moderates. The president needs to pick up the phone and call people, the moderate source close to the talks told us. The person argued the White House has been in listening mode for too long and needs to bang heads. It's not just the moderates who are dismayed. There are a lot of mistakes happening here, a senior Democrat aide said Sunday night, acknowledging the lack of a game plan. There's no whip effort on the BIF yet. Everything is hanging by a thread. Biden needs to be more engaged. Progressives firmly believe Biden and Pelosi agree with them that both bills should move together. No one's made a case to progressives or lobbied for them to change their position and vote for it before the Build Back Better Act. That's the reconciliation bill. And in fact, the White House, when we were there on Wednesday, says this progressive, was very much in the same position that they need both bills. I mean, it's what Joe Biden said. Here's the problem with the mixed message and everything else. Joe Biden said at the start of this process that both bills had to pass together. He walked it back after outrage by Cinnamon Mansion, and then he kind of waffled on whether or not he was walking it back. Nancy Pelosi refused to walk it back. She said they both have to pass. Pelosi says she won't put a bill on the floor without the votes. She says she's putting the bill on the floor this week. Either she has the votes or it's going to be stalled. My guess is it's actually going to be stalled. If she puts it on the floor, it's going to fail. You know, there's always this, and I guarantee if it fails this week, what's going to happen is the conventional wisdom will settle into the media. Well, the Democrats knew it was going to fail and they were tired. They needed to move on. We have the debt ceiling and the fiscal cliff, and we got to find a way to blame the Republicans for that. So we had to get out of this fight. And yes, it's a loss to the Biden agenda, but the election's more than a year away. Everyone will forget about this by the time we get to the election when Joe Biden delivers a bold economic growth forecast. That's not gonna help. It's not going to work. I don't think it will. The moderates are convinced that Joe Biden and the Democratic leaders want the progressives to yield. The progressives are convinced that Joe Biden and the leaders, Democratic leaders in Congress, want what the progressives want, both pieces of legislation. I think the progressives are right. I think the people surrounding Joe Biden have convinced him that it's a win-win. I think that Joe Biden and the progressives have concluded and decided that it's they can get it all. They can have their cake and eat it too. And they think the moderates will cave. Why? Because the progressives have gotten nothing. Nothing. Let me read you a key excerpt from a piece at Politico. Progressives this year have failed to get a pathway to citizenship for many immigrants, a $15 an hour minimum wage, new gun control laws, expanded voting, new standards for racial justice and policing, and scrapping the legislative filibuster. The stakes for the social spending plan for the Build Back Better Act couldn't be higher for the left. See, here's what I don't think the moderates understand. I don't think the moderate Democrats understand that to Biden and Pelosi and Schumer, the moderates have been winning everything. And now they got to give progressives a win. And the win they've chosen to give progressives is the reconciliation plan, what they're calling the Build Back Better Act. They're not willing to yield to moderate concerns on this because they feel like they haven't gotten anything else. The problem for progressives, though, is that it doesn't acknowledge the reality. The filibuster's there. Progressives being denied what progressives want, you know who that helps? Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. They make, by wanting so much and not being able to get it, it makes Manchin and Sinema even more powerful. Now, there are some problems here, though. And again, the Democrats have painted themselves into this corner. Let's just focus on the debt ceiling for 1 minute. They don't do it. They require Republican votes. Republicans will extract painful concessions from the Democrats. Democrats and the media will together say, well, you're causing a default. You're causing national default. The problem, however, is that at this point, Republicans know the media is going to be out to get them anyway. There was a reporter at the Washington Post today who said that it was amazing. All these people belly aching about Chris Cuomo interviewing his brother have no problem with Steve Ducey interviewing his son. This is a reporter for the Washington Post who doesn't seem to understand that Chris Cuomo's brother was the governor of New York with whom he was helping try to cover up or mitigate a sexual harassment scandal. And Steve Ducey was interviewing his son, a fellow reporter at Fox News. Press coverage has become shallow, vapid, vain, and totally in the tank for progressives. Republicans at this point have internalized that it doesn't matter what they do, they will be attacked by the media. If Republicans cured cancer tomorrow, the headlines of the papers across America would be the number of oncologists losing business because of Republicans. If Republicans walked on water tomorrow, the headline of the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the coverage at CNN and MSNBC would be Republicans can't swim. They know it. So when the media and the Democrats say, oh, Republicans are causing default, they're going to default, they're going to default, full faith and credit. The Republicans don't care at this point because they know they're going to get trash no matter what. If Republicans structure a compromise with the Democrats that's fair, the media will give the Democrats all the glory and criticize the Republicans. So why go along with it? You're going to get attacked no matter what you do. Just get attacked and extract concessions. Because here's what the Republicans know, what Mitch McConnell knows, that the Democrats seem not to realize. The Democratic Party is as much on the verge of a crack-up as the Republican Party's been. The Republicans have begun to crack up. I mean, you've got the open view to the next hour. We're going to get into this. Donald Trump going to Georgia, basically saying, y'all vote for Stacey Abrams. I think I'd rather her than Brian Kemp, the Republican. The Republican crack up is for all to see, and the media breathlessly exposes it, highlights it, covers it, puts a magnifying glass on it, wants everyone to see it. Pay no attention to the Democratic crack up. The Democratic crack up is coming. Progressives have gotten nothing. This is a story in Politico, the headline, facing a heap of defeat. Progressives stake hopes on spending bill. Immigration, voting rights, policing, gun control. Congress is filled with liberal hopes crushed by the reality of slim Democratic majority. So progressives are digging in on what could be their last chance at success this year. As Democrats race to pull together a multi-trillion dollar party line social spending package, Speaker Nancy Pelosi's left flank is pushing as hard as it can to see progressive priorities reflected. They've repeatedly vowed to tank a bipartisan infrastructure bill on the floor as soon as this week if they don't see more movement, a strategic flex that reflects how many of their other goals have withered. The party line spending bill was always important to the left, designed as a once-in-a-generation expansion of the social safety net. But as other legislation vital to liberal lawmakers stalled or collapsed, thanks in part to the threat of a Senate GOP filibuster, the social spending plan acquired outsized importance to progressives. Reconciliation is the ball game this year. That and the infrastructure bill, said Dick Durbin, Senate Majority Whip, describing his years-long push to enact immigration reform as an uphill battle. They have to have this. Progressives have to have it. But in getting it, they can't fit in the debt ceiling. And by not fitting in the debt ceiling, they allow Mitch McConnell to structure the terms of the debt ceiling debate. McConnell and the GOP know they're going to get eaten alive by the media no matter what they do. They don't care at this point because the Democrats have shut them out of the process. They negotiated a $1.2 to $1.5 trillion infrastructure package with the Democrats, thinking it would mitigate the Democrats' reconciliation bill. Instead, the Democrats went for broke in the reconciliation bill and then tried to rub Republican noses in it. And the Democrats have forgotten how to govern. They've forgotten how to rule the roost. They control everything and they can't get anything done. They got to get this done or else. But if they get it done, they set up a debt ceiling fight, they can't win. because Republicans no longer care about the bad press. Republicans know they're going to get it. And so the Republicans will extract concessions and undo many of the gains Democrats think they're on the verge of making right now. You want the debt ceiling increased? That's what they're going to have to do. They think Republicans will listen to their better angels and say, we must do this or else. It's for the good of the country. The full faith and credit clause of the Constitution. We have to honor our debt. And Republicans are thinking, y'all are bankrupting us. We can't do this. That Democrats haven't thought this through really does tell you that they've forgotten how to govern. They've forgotten how to be in the majority. They were so used to their majorities being so big, they don't understand how to be in a close majority where they can only lose 3 votes in the House and none in the Senate. It makes the centrist Democrats more powerful. It makes Mitch McConnell powerful as a minority leader in the Senate. And the Democrats can't grapple with it. And if they don't give the progressives what they want, the progressive feud is going to spill out even further. You may have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez run against Chuck Schumer for the Senate next year in New York. Progressives will demand, extract concessions from the Democrats if they can't get anything. And right now they're getting nothing. And if they do get it, they set Mitch McConnell up to be the most powerful minority leader in the Senate in a generation or two. In the next hour, we do need to talk about Donald Trump going down to Georgia on Saturday, giving national Republicans some serious heartburn, even as there are reports that Senate Republicans are starting to come to terms with the idea of Herschel Walker running for the Senate. In fact, there is some news from a national journal that if Republicans do have a wave, it probably, Herschel probably won't matter. He'll be able to be swept in one way or the other. We'll get into that. But President Trump essentially saying he would prefer Stacey Abrams to Brian Kemp is giving Republicans heartburn. We will get there. But before we do, just a question. Where is Joe Biden? If you listen to the complaints from Democrats in Congress, it's that Biden has been absent, that he hasn't been engaged. There's new polling out that suggests the public thinks he mentally is not as sharp as he used to be, shall we say. There are real concerns there. And he's not engaged in the fights that the Democrats need him to be engaged in. He's just not. He's nowhere to be seen. And the people in the White House who are doing his bidding tend to be of the far left, so they're not very accommodating to the moderates' concerns. He doesn't have someone running his legislative shop who is mindful of the concerns across the board of the Democratic coalition. They're only concerned with progressive concerns, it seems. And the result is a White House that is adrift, a White House that can't figure out what's going on, a White House that is unhappy, unfocused, undisciplined, and unable to build a Democrat coalition to get Democrat initiatives over the finish line. Who cares about Republicans? All the fighting is within the Democratic Party right now. And they can't build a coalition to get anything done. So now comes word that Democrats really do expect to lose the House next year, which is why they're so angsty about getting anything done now. But suddenly the Senate's in play. The only thing that could potentially save the Democrats in the Senate is Donald Trump's pick of candidates. There are some real qualms for Republicans out there with how President Trump is picking candidates, and they may not be the best candidates to lead, but in a big wave year, does it even matter? Probably not. They could probably win anyway.